Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hello there, creepies. Welcome to episode number 83. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on?
I have no idea.
You don't have any idea? You got to have an idea.
Gentlemen.
Gentlemen being gentle.
You just said, what's going on? I was waiting for the gentleman.
I wasn't sure I wanted to use gentlemen.
I wait for brothers. He waits for gentlemen.
I don't
know
what to do with my hands.
Maybe I wasn't sure what word I should use for you two tonight. So I just have what's going on.
Guilty as charged.
That'd be a good one. Yeah.
I'd
have to throw myself in.
I still like the Council of Three. I like that. The wise men. Being wise.
Yeah. Well, Nate called it. We're wise guys.
Wise guys.
Or three wise stooges. Guys, yep. We're three something.
Wise guy.
Yeah. You guys doing okay?
Yes.
Week going all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a good week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting ready for what next week is fall break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to the lake? Nope. I know you're going on your trip first.
We're going to D.C. and Gettysburg.
Yeah, right.
Me and Dane.
Right. Which will be very cool.
And then we have to pull our camper out of our campground because we're not renewing for next year.
Oh.
And then we're going to take it to another campground and go camping for the weekend.
Oh, okay. So camping, but just not the same.
Yeah.
That's going to be a loaded week for you and weekend. That'll be great.
Mm-hmm. You're going to need a break from having a break. I'm worn out after vacation. I always need a vacation.
I'm the same way.
From vacation. But that'll be fun.
I always like trying to get home a day early.
Yeah.
Just chilling one last day.
Recovering before you have to go back.
That is the best way to do it. I agree. Yeah. And then, Sean, you're home.
Yes. I'll be working.
He's a homie.
Working.
This is the first time that Nate and I have. I'm actually.
Are you going to be okay?
I don't.
Are you going to have separation?
I don't know. I think that you anxiety? And I need to do a couple things that week just to get me through, because Nate and I normally go off and frolic on the beach or, you know, go to a historic landmark
Nate,
that tends to
this?
Be haunted.
Frolic on the beach.
I don't know about frolic.
Oh, shoot.
I sit in a chair and have a beverage.
It's all coming out now.
Nate says, I do not frolic. Thank you very much. I want
to
frolic.
I don't even know how to frolic.
Oh, I haven't
to school with
I haven't
a guy
taught you.
With their last name was Frolic. But yeah. Chris and Carl Frolic, shout out. They don't listen, I know. But yeah. We're staying home. We don't do anything for fall break. But the kids are looking forward to it.
Yeah.
They're still better than going to school. And then my wife is on fall break. So
I'm going to blame my son because Harrison, we can't go on fall break because of football. So freshman football.
Yeah.
So if you're out there listening, freshman football. No, I'm kidding.
It's their fault.
Yeah. to me, it's funny because like we could have still went somewhere, or Jenna could have still taken the kids, and I could stay home with Harrison, but just didn't work out that way.
No. So. Yeah. Hey, you know, that's how it goes.
Yeah, it is
that's
how it goes.
Yeah.
It's all right.
We're going to go to the orchard Saturday, which is very late for us. Usually we do it mid-September. But I told Amy, I said, we ought to do a haunted house. We have never done a haunted house with, like, the scare. Like, we always done lights on at the Children's Museum,
yeah,
and they
right.
get their candy. Well, let's step it up a little bit. So I want to do one for
step up your game.
The real haunted house, yeah, like right. lights out. And I said, we can do it next week on break. She goes, that'd be great. So I think that's what we're going to do. We're going to do something. We're going to do some haunted house.
Hannah Haunted Hayride.
There you go.
That's fun.
Yeah. I've never been, but
then they have a haunted corn maze and like two
yeah, they
or three
have,
more.
Right, right. They have like two or three
and a haunted acres or the Headless Horseman at Connor Prairie.
No.
None of that.
That's not a haunt. No, that's.
Nah, it's not a haunted house.
No,
no. It's haunted history, though.
They'll boo that. No, I want like, you know.
Oh, I know.
People jumping out.
If you want a haunted house, just come here.
Yeah.
Go find one where you have to sign a waiver.
Oh, I don't know about that. I won't be going. I love those things. So we'll have something to do, but we're not yet. We're staying home, so which is just fine. I don't care.
Home is where the bed is, so that's okay.
Yeah, but it is Wednesday. We are glad to be in front of the mics. It's the weather has been awesome. I don't think we could ask for a better weather system coming through. It's been sunny and dry, but cooler and
Yeah.
That's very, very delightful.
A little colder, but we can handle it, right?
Hey, it's that time of year.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's great, though. I mean, like, what, 72 for the highs during the day?
Yeah. Can't beat it.
Yeah, yeah. And then we still have our balcony door open in our bedroom at night. And then just fresh air and, you know. And we got a heating blanket, so
it's
I got
cool
that
you have a balcony.
Up.
I like that.
We do, off of our bedroom, a walk-out balcony over our backyard. But we have the door
Rapunzel
open.
Does Rapunzel drop her hair?
No, I do.
Oh. Toddy, Toddy, throw down your hair.
Yeah.
Why? Why are Nate and Sean throwing pebbles at my patio door?
He's like, who is
balcony
that?
Balcony door.
Oh, it's
or
Sean and Nate.
It's not patio
I don't know
door.
What do you want?
Balcony, patio, whatever.
Yeah. We are glad the Creepies are joining us, as always. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we are glad to be back. I appreciate you guys being flexible on the schedule.
No problem.
I'll give a shout out here in a little bit on why. But Sean.
Yes.
You have some announcements?
I have the first part of the announcements. We, of course, are a mental health community, and we always want to make sure that we give out information for people to get help. So the number that you can call or text for a crisis you are in need of, or anybody else that you know that needs assistance, is 988, or you can visit stopbullying.gov for another way to get the help you need with bullying. Was that concise?
That was.
You like concise?
Concise. I do like concise.
Yes?
Yes, 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 yes. Good job. Yeah.
Good job. Job, well, job done.
Yeah. I don't think that number that we kept giving out, I don't know if that's the number we should be giving out anymore. I couldn't find it. The mental health hotline.
Yeah.
So everybody was referencing the 988 only.
Okay.
For whatever it is. Suicide.
Yeah. That,
you know, substance abuse. I think I gargled.
That's okay.
Gargled. So I thought, yeah, I better take that off just in case. It
well, and things change, you know. Yeah. Like, I mean, I know it used to be like you look it up and that was it. So,
well, 988. I mean, you can text, you can call. So it's mm-hmm. and it handles everything, any type of crisis.
Yeah, which is great. So
yeah. So
look at us keeping up with the times, right?
Aren't we something? Well, there was another podcast, not just Golly Jerry and Tracy's, and they referenced just 988, and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm wondering if that's kind of the way to go.
They
now.
Stopped giving out the numbers too.
So. Not 911.
Yeah. No, not 911. Not 411.
Yeah, nope, none of that.
I mean, you can get some
811.
811, yeah. No.
Right, yeah.
Call before you dig. That's right. I mean, you can call all those, but you're not going to get what you need.
Yeah, I guess you could.
988.
Yeah, 988. not the other ones. We'll have to do that. Just give out the other number. Why are these guys giving out the call before you dig number? Thank you, Sean, for
can
that.
Can you dig it?
Can you dig it?
Can y'all dig it?
Yeah, thank you. So,
no
I have a couple. I'm going to get to my dad joke last. We have a few shout outs for this show.
Yes.
The first one is heartbreaking.
Yes.
And it took me a day and a half to really kind of get a grip on what happened, like, because it was so unexpected and we didn't know him very well. Just met him one time, but just knowing he was in our age range and how it just hits you when you know somebody, you know, passes. He was at our live show, the Hillbilly Horror Stories that we were a part of, and we met him there. And a longtime friend of James, Jimbo, from the Tragedy of Cinema. And then he joined our group and listened to our podcast. And then I think, Sean, you said that he was wanting to maybe go on an investigation.
He wanted to go to the ISS with us.
Okay, the Indiana State Sanatorium. Mm-hmm. And so John Masco, he passed away, I think, Sunday or Monday?
Yeah.
And you said he was in a bad accident, which I did not know of. So I was kind of new to that.
Yeah,
news.
Jimbo had posted that and just prayers for him and recovery and everything. And that had to have been in August, because I got to talk with him in our live show, and we did, you know, we got to talk to a lot of different people, and very nice guy. And then he got right on our page, started following us right away, like at the show. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Oh yeah. He joined the TikTok and
Instagram, everything.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he had told me like, hey, you know, sometime I'd like to go out and do some investigating if you guys are ever, you know, getting groups together. So I'm like, cool, that's awesome. You know, just keep tabs on our page. And one morning, it was actually my wife's birthday, so it was July 27th, and I look back, and he sent me Bill Murray pointing at me, you know, and says, you need to go ghost hunting. And then underneath it, he put, and I need to come with you. And so I told him, I'm like, great idea. And I told him that's when I was like, hey, we're really thinking about in October, November, doing the ISS, Aaron. And so he said, he's like, oh, keep me updated.
Because he said he had never done anything like that. And he was really curious about it. Yeah.
So the next texting or the messaging that we did, basically it was he had gotten in an accident. I know James put that on, Facebook and said.
I missed that.
I don't know. I thought, yeah. I may not have told
you. I don't see every post, but missed that.
So I'm sure it was. I don't know. I assume that it was just complications from that or, so, yeah, I was pretty shocked when he put that in. I know it's hard for Jimbo, so my heart goes out to him. My heart goes out to John's family.
Yep.
John wasn't that. I mean, he was still young,
mid-40s probably.
Seemed like a really cool guy, so God bless his soul.
That's
rough.
It really is.
Losing someone.
Well, and it sounds like they just reconnected. They've known each other a long time, but they didn't really see each other for a number of years.
I think old friends,
And then here this happens, so I feel really bad for him and his family.
Lose someone that you just reconnected with.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it rough.
Yeah, so.
At least they got that moment.
Yes.
So that's cool.
Yeah, so John Masco.
Yeah.
He seemed like a very, very nice guy. Yeah. And, just terrible news.
Yeah, he was a creepy, and we want to make sure that we acknowledge that because it was just, that is not lost on me that, he's part of this community, part of this family,
Yeah.
So our hearts definitely go out to him and his family and all his friends.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's move on to something a little bit. It's hard to segue, but shout outs. So the first one is, you said it's your boss, Keith.
Yeah. He's going to love this. I told him I was going to give him a shout out, and he's like, oh, boy. But then I was like, you're okay with that? And he goes, yeah, I'm okay with that. So shout out to Keith, my boss. He is...
And he listens.
He has. I don't know how often he listens. He says he does. Got him with Brushy. That's what he... marathon, yes.
Okay.
And he wants to do that. He says he'll make it for like maybe a mile and a half, and then that'd be about... No, or maybe a loop and a half or whatever it is.
Better than what I do.
Yeah, right. And so it's an impossible marathon, basically, for most people. And he really enjoyed that, and he said he's been listening to some other episodes. So he is from Alton, or at least around Alton, Illinois.
Okay.
One of the most, if not the most, haunted cities in the United States, right? We've mentioned it before, and he told me, he's like, did you know where I'm from? And I'm like, no, I didn't. I guess I didn't realize. So he has also invited us. He said that in a couple weekends, he's going with his family, and they're going to do like either a haunted tour. Or they went to do a haunted house, but he's like to actually go through like a haunted place, and take a tour. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And he's like, you guys want to come with me?
That'd be like, awesome, but I can't.
Soon. No, I'm
right.
We will take a rain check, though. And for sure, because I would love to. I mean, you're fine. So, I told him we were going to cover some haunted areas in Alton, and there's all kinds. So.
It's crazy creepy, that's for sure.
So I wanted to give him a shout out for that, and then I'm sure as we cover some of those, we'll have to give him a shout out. But yeah, he said he's...
No, he only gets one. Sorry.
McPike
Sorry,
is
Keith.
One of the places, it sounds like, right? He's one of the places that he definitely wanted to go or might go in the next couple weekends is McPike Mansion.
Right. That's a popular place. McPike and wait a minute, that's in Alton. No,
am I saying that wrong?
I thought that was the one. Wait a minute, which one am I?
Gosh,
I thought that was in St. Louis, but no, maybe that is.
I don't know.
Oh, now you got me checking.
Check on that, please. I don't want to give out the wrong.
Oh no,
why did I think? Because Josh Arnold, when he was telling us about the one in St. Louis,
that's... Well,
I thought that was the McPike Mansion.
McPike Mansion,
is it in Alton?
Is in Alton.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I'm not.
That's fine. Yeah, just confirm. Reason, I just had it that it was in...
Josh Arnold did tell us, but no, yeah, his was in St. Louis.
And I know
I was
the one
his was Alton.
No, it's in St. Louis, and that one's a pretty haunted place. Mm-hmm. I can't think of it. Okay, I just got it mixed up. Sorry, Illinois. Sorry, St. Louis.
Middle-aged.
Yeah, right. That's all right. Middle-aged. This is all a shout-out to Keith.
Can't remember a darn thing, Nate.
We can just blame that, right? No.
Yeah. Well, I just ate dinner and it hasn't had time to really replenish my brain. That's what I can come up with. That's the best I've got, anyway. Okay, good. So it's in Alton. That'll be fun. We'll have to do that, though. That's nice that you invited us, Keith. Thank you for doing that. So.
He'll regret it. He'll learn to regret it.
Anyway. He will. So save yourself, Keith. Just go and have a good time.
Hey, yeah, don't think a thing about it.
Do these guys ever shut up?
We don't shut up,
we
go
interact.
We go in completely opposite directions. So
yeah.
We're all over the place.
Oh boy, yeah. We
ask Aaron. He should talk to Aaron before he does anything with us.
No, I remember going, Aaron. Sorry, we're talking. No, no. She's so sweet. Oh, it's fine. No, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'm like, you're just being nice.
Then she disappeared for a while. I'm like, yeah. Where's Aaron at?
But why don't you guys stay here and talk? And I'm going to go down the hallway on the fifth floor. You guys stay down on the first.
She's so patient. She's patient as Nate. She's got like Nate's patience.
Yeah, Nate's patient.
He's very patient with us.
Patient zero. That's his new
patient number nine when in that Ozzy's new song.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. So thanks, Keith. And what else? Oh, I just want to give a quick shout out because I'm very proud. This is a proud dad moment. Mm-hmm. Shout out to the freshman girls volleyball team at Plainfield High School. My daughter is on that team, and they won their last two games. And they beat a very big school tonight. So they ended the season 6-4. And I'm really proud of them. She got cut from the 7th and 8th grade team. Made the last cuts, but then, you know, didn't quite make it. And the little girl just keeps plugging away and improving and working hard. And she's tough mentally. And she made the freshman team, so we were excited.
That's cool.
All in all, and she met some really good friends. You know, we've gotten to know their parents. And it ended on a high note. So shout out to the girls freshman volleyball team.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Warren Central is not close to Plainfield. So when you go there at 6 o'clock in the evening on
it's
rush
out
hour,
there, isn't it? Whew, yeah.
And I told my wife and she's like, oh, I would have left a lot earlier. I'm like, yeah. I mean, well, this is
the opposite side of Indy.
But yeah, exactly.
From where we're at, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. So shout out to those fine young ladies. And then you know what time it is. What time is it?
What time is it?
Joke time.
Sure.
Nate? I've got 8:34. I got 8:34 over here. But
he sits. Oh no, I was really just. What time is it?
You're like
time check.
Nate sits here and acts like he's not excited, but he is. That's. Mm-hmm. I have three or four jokes that I might.
I'm waiting for the one that really is good.
Oh,
what do you mean?
I haven't heard it.
They're so bad, they're good. Nate, they're dad jokes.
They're bad.
So, did you hear about that story about the ghost that went to the the dance club? You know, wanting to find some girls. Did you? No, seriously, did you hear that story? And he wasn't very successful, though. Huh? No.
Was that a joke in there?
Huh?
Was there a joke in there?
No.
I missed it then. No.
And then you say, well, why wasn't he successful?
Why wasn't he? Okay. I stopped on it.
There's a joke in there.
I thought so. Why wasn't he successful?
They could see right through him.
Oh.
Yep. They can see right through him.
I can almost. I can feel.
Yeah, he's a ghost.
Yeah.
I can feel people just shutting off their podcasts.
Creepies. Like, they could see right through him. That's why he didn't have any luck.
This is where we lost half of our audience.
You want another quick bonus? What do you call the ghost that has more of anything than his buddy? He's the ghost with the most.
Oh,
Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
Beetlejuice.
Anyway, that's a little bonus dad joke. I've got a couple more ghost jokes, but I'm going to save them for next time. there you go. That's Todd's dad joke of the show. You're welcome. You're welcome, Mako family.
There are people out there that really do enjoy them. There are people out there that are fast-forwarding quickly. Right
no, they're
now,
good. Yeah. Good dad jokes.
Oh, yeah. My wife, trust me, she hears plenty of them at home and my kids, and they just shake their head.
Don't worry. When I say I'm at home, I get the same response I'm giving you.
The funny thing is, Olivia, my daughter, I love her more than Elijah. No, I'm kidding. Just because she laughs at him. And my wife goes, don't laugh at your dad. Don't encourage him. She just laughs. I go, thank you, honey.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Proud of you. Thank you. So I give her money.
Right.
Well, that's why she laughs.
Yeah, yeah.
He'll give me a 10 if I laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, and Amy's like, don't laugh at him. Don't encourage him. But then she kind of smirks. So I get her. So thank you for that.
My gosh, no problem.
Yeah, thanks for laughing.
I was going to say, did you guys laugh?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Oh, you missed it?
Yeah.
It was the best laugh ever.
Hey, yeah. Don't forget to put that laugh track in there.
Oh, yeah.
I always love that laugh track. let's get on to the main portion. Sean, tell the creepies what we're going to discuss tonight.
We are going to talk about mummies or mummy.
Not daddies.
Not daddies. Now, that leads me to my own little joke, haha, and I was telling the guys this before we started, that William, before I came here, I told him we were talking about mummies, And next week we'll be talking about daddies. And he said, no, if you're talking about mummies this week, next week you'd be talking about dummies. Mm. And I'm like, oh, that's mean. That's not nice.
Like I said, I can't really argue with him, but I'm just saying he didn't have to lower the boom on us like that. But kid's got a point.
He's not wrong.
It was a cheap shot.
Yeah. It was a little bit cheap, but he's not wrong.
Dummies, so. He says. Okay. All right, William, but that's your real name.
Because it's funny that we say that, because in Wikipedia, they make sure that it's, let's say, dummy proof. It says, this article is about the preserved person or animal. For the maternal parents, see mother. For the type of monster, see mummy, undead. For others, use see mummy. So we're kind of, I mean, I mean this for the purpose of the undead, so the mummies, mm-hmm. right? But I also see it as the mummies, you know, what we're talking about is wrapping people in, you know, in ancient times too. So it's a little bit, because it's all spooky. It's all scary. It's all a little bit unexplained. And you know, people don't really know exactly the full breadth of this topic. So thought we would do it. You know how we do our way, right?
Yeah.
Wait, what is our way again?
I don't. I'm
scriptless.
I'm still trying to figure
out. We throw darts.
Yeah.
Nate, every once in a while, we'll hit something.
Now let's try to hit it tonight.
Hit it. Na, 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 na. Hit it. All right. So, yeah.
Are you laying the foundation or am I laying the foundation?
You. And you didn't say it's your pick.
So do you want me to go with mother?
Did you hear what I said?
Oh, it's my pick. Okay. This is my night.
Wow, smooth.
We're doing smooth operator over here.
Good transition.
That's my pick, yeah.
It is my pick.
Now, here I am trying to help you out. And, all right, now.
Rock you like a hurricane.
Good luck. Oh, here I am.
Okay.
It's a great night for music.
Great song, but
it is.
All right.
Hey, that was my Middle Asian moment. You just took it from me. So a mummy is a dead human or animal whose soft tissues and organs have been preserved by either intentional or accidental exposure to chemicals, extreme cold, or very low humidity, or the lack of air, so that the recovered body does not decay further if kept in cool and dry conditions. Some authorities restrict the use of the term to bodies deliberately embalmed with chemicals, but the use of the word to cover accidentally desiccated bodies goes back at least to 1650 AD, which I think it's further back than that, isn't it?
Sounds probably. Like it.
I don't know. I am a mummy expert, so ask me.
You're a mummologist? yeah, you'd think it'd go a little bit further back.
I think it suggests the Egyptian mummies that have been analyzed were from the time frame that falls between approximately 450 and 250 BC.
BC. I was going to say, it's got to be BC. So
that kind of makes more sense.
Wikipedia, what are you doing? Well, if you hit mummies undead, you get mummies are commonly featured in horror genres as undead creatures wrapped in bandages. Similar undead include skeletons and zombies. Mm. That's not really very thorough either.
I think what they're saying with the 16, is 15 it, is the, like it modern.
Dummy. Dummies. God. Nope, that's me.
Modern dummies.
Modern mummies, you're right.
I think they called his brain out already.
What are we talking? Mummies, dummies? What's going on? Crummies? I don't know.
Oof.
Okay, so are you done with the foundation?
I hope so.
Oh, okay.
I hope so.
It's crumbling.
This was the month. Mummy. Gosh. Well, the movie The Mummy, 1932, Boris Karloff.
Yes.
That was the movie when my dad was younger. Scared him to bits. Yeah.
I was going to say, he was a big werewolf and mummy fan.
That
right?
And the Wolfman. Mm-hmm. But, oh, man, he said my dad was born in 34. So he's born 2 years after this movie.
Yesteryear, right?
Yeah. The good old days. So, so when he got older, he said he was in grade school age. And when, he'd go to the movies with his buddies. And, man, he said that just scared him to death. So I have a heart for the mummy.
Well, and I wanted to make that point, and I figured that was because that's something I was thinking of too, that you've mentioned that before, that those are his two favorites.
Oh yeah.
And so when I think about, like, if you think about classic horror, Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, and the mummy, yep. I mean, those are your four big dogs back then, mm-hmm. that people were frightened of. And a lot of the things with the mummy, I mean, it's scary enough to, like, find a mummy. And they had stories that I looked up talking about how certain mummies that were found, like, scared archaeologists, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's not like they came back to life, not that I know of. But, like, in the movies, when they come back to life, I mean, that think about that. It's like, that is so creepy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just as creepy as any other.
Well, I think it's movie. Because when you find them, they're just so well preserved.
Right. That they look still
human. They look like they could possibly come back to life.
Right.
You're like, are you going to talk? Because you kind of look like you might want to talk. Yeah. It is creepy.
I like the fact that nowadays, especially with modern technology, that they can show what they would have looked like. Just with adding some flesh to their bones and some life to their, their being. There's one that was this beautiful woman. And it showed, they call her the old lady or something like that, but when they re-envisioned her as what she would have looked like and then gave her some more of her hair, she's beautiful, So it's like, this is what she would have looked like. It's like, my gosh, you always think of our ancestors as being a little bit homely and they, it took a while to get, good looking people, except in Hollywood. But that's not necessarily the case. I mean, there were definitely good looking people back then too.
So. Oh yeah. Yeah. It is mummy. I don't know what to call it even. Like, I know they're people, but not creature. I don't want to call them creatures, but it is something that since I was a kid, it does, the whole image of the wrapping and, they have, some of it have blood on their, or dirty and just, it was always a character. I'll say a character.
Yeah.
That was, definitely creepy. I one of my favorite Halloween costumes was a mummy. My mom and dad bought me this mask and it was expensive.
Paper, be honest. Was it toilet paper?
No. Well, the mask was an expensive mask. And so I had that and it was full, not just the face, but it was the year that I, I think it was the, cyanide poisoning. Remember that?
Yes.
Back in the '80s. And so my mom and dad said, you're not going. And a few kids here and there, I said, well, that's a bummer. Yeah. I understood why. And he's like, you can still wear your mask. You can still, and there's going to be some kids. He's like, just go out in the front yard and you can scare people. I'm like, oh yeah, that might be fun. So they did. He took bandages and wrapped me up. Mm-hmm. Full,
Did he wrap it around your mouth? Yeah. Yeah.
I was going,
Todd.
No, I didn't have to because I had my mask. Great. I have pictures. Yeah. And I'd just lay like on the porch or I'd sit there or I lay on the yard and these people would walk by and just, oh, that's cool. And then I'd set up or do whatever. So.
You're probably pretty tall back then too. So you're
I was
tall mummy.
Tall
drink of mummy.
Tall drink of mummy. But no, it is a character that I've always liked. And knowing my dad was scared to death as a young kid, from the movie 1932. And Boris Karloff, of course, a legend in acting and doing all those scary movies. So
yeah.
So I've always loved the whole Egypt thing.
Oh my gosh,
it is cool. And
mummies just roll right into it. And it just watching documentaries on how they mummified the pharaohs and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
like they'd just make a little 2-inch incision, pull everything out. Internal, have just a little bitty incision. Oh yeah, they're like super precise. Like I think they had like some sort of hook tool, and they'd pull your brain out through.
Yeah,
your
the
nose.
Brain was seen as like completely worthless. It was, the heart was seen as like the seat of everything. The brain,
which is important,
the soul.
But
yeah.
And then okay, I think they would pack the body in salt and do all sorts of stuff, wrap them.
Yeah,
obviously.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty,
I did not know that.
Well.
Wow.
Which makes me think, before I forget, because I don't want to forget this, that there's things I was watching that there was they put out some kind of a research, like, hey, donate your body to science, we'll give you so much money, and we're going, basically our goal is to see if we can do modern mummification, try the techniques that they tried. Mm-hmm. And I think they had a couple people apply, and it only worked out for like one person, like that they actually did this process on, as I recall. And it worked really well. Like the person, and like I said, it might've been more than just,
I think there's a documentary about that.
Yeah. And they said all the techniques, they used the techniques of the ancients and it worked. Mm-hmm. And they were like, it really did keep him, obviously it was research that was done over several years. But it actually did preserve his body just as it would have back then. So they were like, but think about that. Like, that's way ahead, at least for us. And I know we don't, exactly know what kind of things they knew back then. We've lost, I think, some of the information that they probably had, or some of the technologies maybe they had, or the ancient wisdoms or whatever. But it's interesting to think, like, that's pretty sophisticated. And then they've put, like, think about it. We're still talking about them now, some of these pharaohs and, kings and whatever, and queens. And and people of importance, obviously. This wasn't just your random, you know, Joe Schmo on the street, you know, well, let's mummify him. No, this was somebody, you know, they were trying to take great care of getting into the next, you know, the afterlife. They took their servants with them. They took their their animals with them.
I was going to mention that.
All their possessions.
I'm not, don't quote me, but I'm pretty sure that if you're a servant of them, like, it was like ritual sacrifice or whatever to go with your pharaoh.
Yes, and that was, it was supposed to be a basically your pleasure, your honor.
Yeah.
You'd be like, yay! I don't think.
Pharaoh just passed away. Like, dang it.
No.
Really?
Like, supposed to, like I said, it's supposed to be a good thing, but man, I don't know. Yeah. It's like the kamikaze pilots. Now, how did you get them to do that? You know, like, oh, no, we'll be in heaven as soon as we, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. I hope so.
Good for you. Yeah. I never thought about that. It's like, oh, man.
I do. What? I think, you know, the animals got to be mummified. The servants got to be mummified. But did they wrap each individual, like, possession, too? Like,
no, I think a lot of stuff.
Don't forget that pot. Yeah. That's, all the pottery goes.
Well, I think they put a lot of possessions in the pottery.
Right. Exactly. Which is,
you would think they would do that. I mean, you know, like, that would suck, though.
You can't take it with you when you go.
You can't.
Maybe you can.
You can't. No,
they sure tried.
They did try.
We're wrapping everything. We're wrapping. Okay. I found in my research.
God, you did research?
I really didn't.
You overachiever over there.
I made that up. No, had you heard of the Unlucky Mummy?
No, I don't know that
one. The Unlucky Mummy.
That's
not
the one that ended up on the Titanic?
Well, let me just tell you who it is, what it is.
Go for it.
Okay, so the Unlucky Mummy is an ancient Egyptian artifact in the collection of the British Museum in London. The identity of the original owner is unknown, hence the unknown mummy. This painted wooden mummy board is of an unidentified woman was acquired by the British Museum in 1889. They says goes back to the 950 BC of the 21st dynasty in Thebes. I don't know. Thebes.
Thebes or
Thebes.
Something. Who knows?
Yeah. So I had never. So neither one of you had heard.
No.
Unlucky mummy.
Nope.
Yeah. The mummy board, or unlucky mummy, has acquired a reputation for bringing misfortune and a vast web of mythology, and has developed around, or which has developed around it. It has been credited with causing death, injury, and large scale disasters, such as the sinking of the RMS Titanic in 1912. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it earned the nickname the Unlucky Mummy. So, there you go. None of these stories, though, just say that they're not 100% factual, but it's just rumored that it has. Yeah, so.
Well, that's what the...
go figure.
When we talked about the Titanic and the sinking, and I talked about there being a mummy, and then when you look it up, they say, oh, it's completely false. But in this, I saw more stories about saying that it is true. So it's hard to validate that exactly. Obviously, you know, we weren't on the Titanic.
Yeah.
At least not that I'm aware of.
No, but I'm not that old.
Yeah, not quite that old. But so maybe there was a mummy and then maybe there wasn't. I don't really know. But they say, like I said, there's pretty good convincing evidence that it was a made up story and it was a great story. But then there's pretty good evidence, like I said, from some of this that, you know, maybe it was something that was suppressed. You know, they didn't want them to know that there was a cursed mummy on board that
brought down
the whole ship. So
be a little concerning, I think.
Well, I found the first thing they do to mummify is remove the brain from the cranium.
So you're right.
Through the nose.
Little hook.
Yeah.
Through the nose, you said. Okay.
That's where it differs.
Uh-oh.
The gray matter was discarded. Modern mummy excavations have shown that instead of an iron hook inserted through the nose, a rod was used to liquefy the brain via the cranium, which then drained out the nose.
You mean
by
like
gravity,
like pulverize it? Is that what? Oh, wow! I just got a picture of that.
Brain smoothie.
It's what an image. Yeah.
You say liquefy? I was like, you just beat it until it. Oh my gosh,
that is nasty. Oh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. No reverence for the brain, huh?
I learned something. I
neurologists
know.
Are like, oh, my gosh. Makes your brain hurt, doesn't it?
Yeah. Brain free. You're talking about slushy brains.
Oh,
gosh, terrible.
Fresh monkey brains.
The abdominal cavity was then rinsed with palm wine and an infusion of crushed fragrant herbs and spices. The cavity was then filled with spices, including myrrh, cassia, and every other sort of spice except frankincense.
They weren't good enough for the frankincense?
Also to preserve the person. So I didn't know they stuffed them.
Stovetop? No.
Stovetop. Good enough for Thanksgiving. Oh, I just lost my appetite.
I grossed myself.
Yeah, right?
That is interesting. So no frankincense. Okay.
And then they'd wash the body and wrap it with linen bandages. The bandages were covered with a gum that modern research has shown is both waterproofing agent and an antimicrobial agent.
Not Trident. No. Double bubble.
Double bubble.
Sorry.
That's crazy.
Bubblicious.
Yeah.
So they basically waterproofed the body, so no wonder that it never rotted or nothing.
Yeah.
Moisture couldn't get to it.
Hey, they knew what they're doing.
That's smart. That is not a dummy. That's not a dummy.
They weren't dummies when it came to wrapping
to their mummies.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh. So it says, mummies of humans and animals have been found on every continent, both as a result of natural preservation through unusual conditions and as cultural artifacts. Over 1 million animal mummies have been found in Egypt alone, many of which are cats, which I've heard that for a long time.
Meow.
What's with the cat, man? Katmandu. Many of the Egyptian animal mummies are sacred ibis. The bird, right? And radiocarbon dating suggests that the Egyptian ibis mummies have been analyzed were from time frames that fall between approximately 450 and 250 BC. So they like their birds and their cats and their birds. Their Tweety birds
they
and their Sylvester.
I found that in addition to the mummies of ancient Egypt, deliberate mummification was a feature of several ancient cultures in the area of America and Asia with very dry climates. The spirit cave mummies of fallen Nevada in North America were accurately dated at more than 9,400 years old. Before this discovery, the oldest known deliberate mummy was a child of the Chinchiriro mummies found in the Cameroons Valley, Chile, which dated around 5050 BC. The oldest known naturally mummified human corpse is a severed head dated as 6,000 years old, found in 1936 AD at the site named Inca Cueva Number 4 in South America.
That sounds made up.
Inca Cueva.
Just, but here it is right here.
A drink.
Yeah.
I'll take the Inca Cueva.
Number 4.
Number 4. Interesting. That is in Nevada, you say.
Uh-huh.
Which makes sense because it's, you know, desert.
Desert, dry.
Dry. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
So I like pretty it. Interesting.
It is. And it really is.
I like the, and I did not know this before looking into all this, but I wanted to definitely highlight, the English word mummy is derived from medieval Latin mumia. Yes, I said mumia.
Mumia?
Borrowing of the medieval Arabic word, oh my goodness sakes, mumia, which meant, sorry, I'm not trying to be offensive there, which meant an embalmed corpse as well as bituminous embalming substance, because I'm so good at the English language and Arabic, apparently. This word was borrowed from the Persian, where it meant asphalt, and it is derived from the word mum, meaning wax.
Okay.
Now
we're going back to
gum, right?
Now we're
wax,
getting somewhere.
Wax, gum, whatever.
Wax, gum, mum, whatever.
Yeah, so the meaning of corpse preserved by desiccation. So
it's better than defecation.
So that's where all that term.
You say desiccation.
That's
okay.
Next week's topic, but okay.
The mummification.
Don't give it all away.
Defecation.
Yeah.
When you dry it out, it turns into a rock.
This is why they wanted to make sure everything was stuffed accurately with all the frankincense. No, not the frankincense, right?
No frankincense. No frankincense for you.
Makes me think of Frankenstein. I'm sure everybody else out there feels that same way.
Real quick on that British Museum, We were talking about the unknown mummy. It said that rooms 62 in this British Museum, 62 and 63, contain objects connected with a funerary practice in ancient Egypt, including mummies, coffins, and other tomb artifacts. The galleries also show the use of modern technology for investigating mummies with an X-ray and CAT scan image of some of the exhibits. Put that on the list. We'll have to go.
Yep. It's already there. Got it.
Yep. When we go to London and visit the all the other places we want to go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tower of London and Jack the Ripper. Interesting. There's a lot more to the mummies than you think, you know?
Yes.
Because they're not just in Egypt. They're, North America, and Asia, and everywhere. And so many years of different.
Then also you have the curse of the pharaohs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the Titanic lore.
Or the mummy's curse.
The mummy's curse. And look how many movies they've made of mummies. It's been. I have not seen any of the movies with. It was like, what, maybe the 90s or 2000s? Who's the actor that.
Brendan Fraser.
Have you seen any of those?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Are they good?
Yeah.
They're pretty good for what they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have not seen
I definitely
any of
like
those.
The first one.
Yeah, the first
and
one.
And it kind of kind of blurs after that. But yeah, I mean, I do. I like it for what it's worth, too.
Because I wasn't sure. Is it like a more of like a fantasy action? Or is it? I mean, it's not a scary. They're not scary movies, right?
No. It's
like a.
More on the lines of like Disney.
Oh, okay.
Indiana Jones-ish.
Okay.
Slapsticky a little.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're not like a horror.
Soft serve. Yeah.
That's soft serve.
It's a true story.
Yeah, I've not seen any of those. Yeah.
There's like, what is that one? National Treasure.
Oh, yeah. We love those movies. Yeah. We like both of them, actually. Yeah.
Some
adventure.
Adventure movie.
Yeah. Gotcha.
There was another. Night at the Museum.
Yeah, like those.
They
two,
also, I mean, a big central character is the mummy in that, which is like something that you wouldn't think of, but that's a really good
one. Of the newest.
They tie that in well.
Mm-hmm. Is Moon Knight on Disney?
Oh yeah, Plus. And I still haven't seen that. You did. You said that gets pretty wacky. But
I have
really,
not heard of
really
it.
Good. Yeah,
it's a superhero, and it's a series on Disney Plus.
I can't keep up with these superheroes. Chick, did you hear Q95 today talking about that?
Mm-hmm.
Chick McGee and Josh Arnold, they're like, there's 85 of them. We're like, there's
more than that.
Yeah, I know. I was like, 85? That's how many they make in a year. I just can't. Yeah, I'm kind of superheroed out. Like, I only have a few that I just can't keep watching them. But that's cool, though. I mean, that's a different take on a superhero.
Yeah, and it's all Egypt, pharaoh.
Yeah, I get it.
Stuff.
Yeah,
so it's really cool.
Sure,
I saw how they did some of the CGI for that, and I was like, I really need to watch that because I think I would really enjoy it. But it gets very multidimensional type in
very
multidimensional.
Yeah,
makes your head hurt. Is that what happens? Yeah,
okay. Yeah.
I like that.
That's always a good thing.
You finally figure it all out when the series is over.
Like, oh, do you? Okay. Oh, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, you're like, man, I don't really like this show, and then it's finally over, and you're like, you know, it wasn't that bad. It's pretty good.
It was all a dream. A dream and a dream.
It's sort of the premise of the show.
We're talking about the curse. The curse of the pharaohs, or the mummy's curse, is a curse allegedly to be cast upon anyone who disturbs a mummy of ancient Egyptian, origin, especially
one
a pharaoh.
One thing that I have learned is you do not disturb the mummy.
Yeah, just don't do it. Well, there's been so many,
here at home, too.
No, that's what I tell my kids,
just let the mummy sleep.
Mummy's upstairs. Don't bug her.
How come it doesn't go for the daddy? The daddy gets bothered all the time.
I have to admit.
There's no curse that comes with the daddy.
There's no daddy curse.
No. I curse.
Dummy. Dummy.
Yeah.
The curse
that's
of the dummy.
As far as it goes.
You're the dummy.
No true danger.
I'm not the dummy. You're the dummy. I can't do it as well as you guys.
You're the dummy. I'm not the dummy. You're the dummy.
This it says, this curse, which does not differentiate between thieves and archaeologists, is claimed to have caused bad luck, illness, and death. Since the mid-20th century, many authors and documentaries have argued that the curse is real in the sense of having scientifically explicable causes such as bacteria or radiation. However, the modern origins of Egyptian mummy curse tales, their development primarily in European cultures, the shift from magic to science to explain curses and their changing uses, From condemning disturbances of the dead to entertaining horror film audiences suggests that Egyptian curses are primarily a cultural, not scientific phenomenon. And I think that's interesting because it's right. You know, you open up something that's been sitting there, you know, supposed to have been decomposing for all these years. Surely there's some old, you know, viruses or bacteria or whatever that are still hanging out, and you've just exposed that.
And I'm sure the archaeologists that have met their doom, you know, investigating these places and have died because of it.
Right.
That's probably what got them is some weird fungus or something in the tomb with the mummy.
Right.
Would be my guess.
It's a good guess. Mm-hmm. Good guess. Did you have more, Sean?
I've got
a story.
So we go over curses, and I mean it's affected so many people that have found, you know, especially like
Tut. Who knows?
King Tutankhamun's was a big deal that a lot of people connected with it and finding it. Mm-hmm. This, you know, and then there was supposed to be a curse if you messed with him, and a lot of people died. However they died, and whatever the reason, they still died, and they were, you know, there was a lot of, whether you call it bad luck or coincidence or whatever, people died a lot connected to it. So
think about how bad a fart would smell that was trapped when they shut the door.
Yeah. Well, that's why
that would be a curse.
That's why they call them rootin' tootin'.
You imagine breaking the seal on that bad boy?
Oh, man. Woof. I couldn't smell it.
That is strong.
Rootin' tootin'. It does say, I have to point out that it says, despite...
I like Nate's question there.
Despite...
You wonder what a spart smells like?
Despite a mummy spurt.
A mummy spurt. Yeah, right.
Straight out of antiquity, right? Despite popular misconceptions, there was no curse found inscribed in the pharaoh's tomb, which is really sad and disappointing because I always thought there was. The evidence for curses related to Tutankhamun anyway is considered to be so meager that they're viewed as unadulterated claptrap. What in the heck is that? It means a bunch of garbage, I guess. Yeah. But whatever. Who says claptrap? I mean, come on.
I think that they made like false rooms and stuff to make it hard to find the pharaoh's room in the like pyramids or in the grave sites.
And so, well, some of those are empty too. What's funny is they're like, oh, well, this is where it would have been, but there's nothing here. You know, that's why the Great Pyramids anyway of Giza are very interesting because it's like they've got all kind of pyramids and places where the mummies are kept, but there weren't any in the Great Pyramid, which is like, where'd they go? Or, oh, it's not used as a, it's not really Stargate. A burial. It's not a, right? It's not a, well,
that's a great movie.
Isn't it? So that raises all other kind of questions, but it's like, yeah, where'd all the mummies go in here? But
beat me up, Scotty.
Right.
You would think that as old as the mummies are, what, you know, they ought to call them like the geezers of Giza. Don't you think they ought to call
now
them?
Now that's a good idea. I like the way your brain thinks.
I am full of dad jokes.
I like the way your brain thinks.
I'm wound up.
But we're still going to take a rod and we're going to pulverize it until it liquefies.
Oh,
sorry.
Back to that.
Well, take one, the rod with the hook. Did not work very well.
So I learned that too as a kid, the hook thing. So
yeah, that's what I've always.
They got me hook, line, and sinker.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Hey, leave the dad jokes to a professional.
I know, right?
That wasn't bad, though. I liked it, actually. Did you hear about the mummy in India? It is in the Indian Museum in Kolkata.
I bet you're going to tell us about it. Cause I don't
know. No, that's all I just want to say.
That's it.
No, anyway, they said this is a breeding ground of so many ghost stories, or could it be? This gentleman says, I was at the Indian Museum in Kolkata? Anyway, a few days ago, there was a small Egyptian. Is that what it, Calcutta?
I don't
know. It's spelled K-O, so I wasn't sure if it's Kolkata. Okay.
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm sure I'm messing it up.
Knockout.
Yeah. And no offense to our Indian listeners, because they are on our list sometimes.
Right.
So I'm not trying to make fun. I just, Kolkata,
we really
Calcutta,
don't know.
They're throwing stuff at the wall now.
Yeah. And they're like, just stop.
You idiots.
Quit while you're behind you. You idiot. There is a small Egyptian collections housed in the small room on the first floor. The damp swells through parts of the exposed walls. Glass cases cover the walls. Some have maps and plaques. A few shabtis and canopic jars lie within. Okay, and it says dust and grime coat everything. It says, the strange thing is the darkness which swathes the middle of the room and covers a long glass case are there. Within lies the form of a mummy. Says, now, let me get to my story here. He says, that day I stood next to it, and as I watched the face, waves of anguish and terrible anger rolled off it, spreading an unpleasant heat in the room. I stood back a bit to watch others' reactions. Soon a young couple came in, the security guard, who also seemed to double up as a helpful guide around the room now and then, came up to them to answer their questions and tell them that the mummy was more than 4,000 years old. The man peered over the glass case and hovered for a moment before walking off to the glass wall exhibits. Next were two young schoolboys who entered chattering excitedly and stopped to look at the mummy. Their talk died away, and it was just a few seconds before they too moved away. And then a young matron with two small children in tow walked all around the room and looked at the mummy from a distance, but avoided going up to it. There was an angry darkness there, which is reaching out. Brought so far from its golden sands, here the shell of the once living lay in decay and neglect. It says, interestingly, there is a shriveled, mummified hand in one of the glass cases. As is usual with most of the objects, there is no label or providence given. But old records of the Asiatic Society say it was procured from a tomb near Cairo by the assistant librarian of the society, Dalton. He gifted it to this museum, supposedly in a great hurry. And then lastly, it says, rumors had been rife at one time of how the hand had been torn off the arm of a noblewoman's mummy by tomb robbers, and they had quickly sold it off to a sob there once ill luck started following them. So that sounds like a really cool place.
It really does. Yeah. That's
and
very
then,
cool.
Yeah, and it went on to say, just when you enter, it's filled with darkness and a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. And what do you say?
You can feel that.
Mm-hmm.
The heavy energies, right?
Yeah. So
I still think it's interesting with this, talking about the curses and how infrequently they happened or how rare they were. But it says when they did happen, they happened a lot of times in private tombs of the old kingdom era. The tomb of Hakhtufi, which is the 9th through 10th dynasty. That came out pretty well.
Yeah, it smooth.
Contains a smooth operator again, right?
Just like me.
Contains the warning, any ruler who shall do evil or wickedness to this coffin may Hemen, not who you're thinking, which is a local deity apparently, not accept any goods he offers, and may his heir not inherit. The tomb of Kintika, something I can't pronounce, the 6th dynasty, contains an inscription, as for all men who shall enter this my tomb impure, there will be judgment. An end shall be made for him. I shall seize his neck like a bird. Sheesh. I shall cast the fear of myself into him. And then this is also interesting. Curses after the old kingdom era are less common, though more severe, sometimes invoking the ire or the wrath of Thoth, which is a very powerful ancient god, or the destruction of Sekhmet. Somebody's quotes I can't pronounce. An example of the curse. So this is a good one. Cursed be those who disturb the rest of a pharaoh. They that shall break the seal of this tomb shall meet death by a disease that no doctor can diagnose.
Mm.
So that's why it makes me think, like, these are real.
Yeah, something's
sorry,
up.
Charlie.
I have a list.
Uh-oh.
Of deaths popularly.
We get you.
Popularly. I don't know. I can't speak.
I don't know. I can't either.
Attributed to Tutankhamun's curse.
Mm.
The tomb was open on 29 November 1922. Ooh. George Herbert, 5th Earl of Carnarvon, financial backer of the excavation, who was present at the tomb's opening. He died on April 5th, 1923, after a mosquito bite became infected. He died 4 months and 7 days after the opening of the tomb. George J. Gould I, a visitor of the tomb, died in the French Riviera on May 16th, 1923, after he developed a fever following his visit.
Ooh.
A.C. Mace, a member of the Carter's excavation team, died on April 1928. Having suffered from pleurisy and pneumonia in his final years. Captain the Hahn Richard Bethel, Carter's secretary, died on the 15th of November, 1929. Died in bed in a Mayfair club. The victim of a suspected smothering.
Oh.
The mummy did it. And then Howard.
It's always the mummy.
Howard Carter.
And the butler.
Yeah.
Opened the tomb on the 16th of February, 1923. And died well over 16 years later on March 2nd.
It's the mummy getting you. Watch out.
Mm-hmm. Your brain is liquefying. However, some have still attributed his death to the curse.
Wow. Pretty creepy stuff, though.
I mean, think of all these deaths, like
pretty recent after, you know?
Yeah.
And really kind of like, a mosquito. I'm not saying that people can't get sick, but that doesn't happen a lot. And it got
I read a little bit. These go in more detail in the article, but it wasn't the mosquito bite that got him. He shaved, nicked the mosquito bite, and then it gave him an infection and gave him blood poisoning.
But I'm just saying, I get that. It's not what.
But he didn't get like malaria or whatever.
But the whole sequence.
Started from the mummy's curse, though.
It started from getting a mosquito. You know what I mean? Just a normal.
No, it started from the mummy's curse. That started it. So it all goes back to the mummy's curse.
Or the butler.
or the butler.
The mosquito was the mummy.
It's pretty. I mean, I wouldn't take a chance. I'm not.
One thing.
I'm not opening any mummies.
Some of these discussions, I forget to bring up certain things. And so this is something else I want to talk about, just at least touch on, is the interesting point that like mummies were sold. It was like the cool thing, you know, to sell mummies and to own one and whatever. And then that's also how like some of this creepiness happened. There are pictures from like, I'd say the 1800s, you know, black and white, even 1900s, like mummies up against a wall, you know, for sale. I mean, it's just, you know, like a guy like, hey, you want some mummies? So it was just such a like, talk about it desecrating, you know, somebody's, you know, that's, it's like digging up dead bodies and like, want one? You know, it's to me.
So you walk in.
They sold them my property.
So can I help you? Yeah, I like the third mummy from the left. right there.
Not the one that's slightly unwrapped. I want the one that's completely intact.
Do you want this wrapped? Or
right, yeah, wrapped.
Like Christmas.
Like Scooby-Doo.
Gets to that point where, okay, they were a human being. They're a pharaoh or a holy man or, you know, high society person. And so then they're respected and mummified.
Yes.
But then it gets to that point in modern times where they're discovered and found, and they're not treated like a human corpse anymore. It's more of a art.
Yes.
Historical art and decoration.
Or some kind of, right? Or like sculpture of some, you know.
And status symbol.
It's not like a human anymore.
Oh, look what I got.
Yeah. You know?
It's a good point.
And they probably don't care that there used to be a person.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, the aspect of them being a living, breathing person is out the window.
Yeah, right.
I like this. There's so many different accounts of people buying mummies and saying that they were either cursed or that there was some kind of haunting with them, which is also very interesting, that they had to get rid of them.
Well, I hope so.
Right? This is a good one. Instead of reading all these, I'm going to read one that was my favorite. Hieroglyphs were not deciphered until the early 19th century, so reports of curses before this are simply perceived bad luck associated with the handling of mummies and other artifacts from the tombs. In 1699, Louis Pinacher wrote an account in which he recorded how a Polish traveler bought two mummies in Alexandria and embarked on a sea journey where the mummies were in the cargo hold. The traveler was alarmed by reoccurring visions of two specters, and the stormy seas did not abate until the mummies were thrown overboard. Creepy.
It's kind of like the Ouija board, where, you know, you could say, "Oh, yeah, I don't believe that stuff," and then it's like, "Well, do you want to buy one?" Not really. I mean, I don't want to.
Yeah, right.
Don't
like, mess
I'm with like, it. Eh. Or I don't believe, because like, I said, I'm like, Ouija 50-50 to me, but it's enough that I'm like, I really don't want to test it.
The way I look at mummies, like, you know, Hollywood, you know, brought them back to life, and
I like that.
You know,
that's a good choice of word. Brought them back to life.
Yeah.
No, but seriously,
I
get what you're
saying. The curse was they come alive and they come after you.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of stuff.
Yep.
Which is cool. I like the storyline of that. But I think modern way of looking at it, or a real life scenario is, yeah, the bodies aren't going to move. They're not going to get up. They're not going to come back to life and reanimate. But spiritually,
yeah,
now you're talking with unseen energies.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to be physically attacked or them coming at you, but it's what they conjure up. Something you can't see, but it's coming from their disturbance, right, and the disrespect.
Yeah, you messed with them, so now they're going to mess with you.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, I don't care what you guys say. We're not buying mummies. Is that what you're wanting to do, Sean? No.
That was going to be my surprise this year.
We'll buy Halloween. You know what we'll do? We'll buy a mummy.
Miniature mummies.
There you go. Here come the mummies, right?
we'll buy a mummy and play with a Ouija board. How about that? We're not asking for trouble.
And our podcast
will end. In a graveyard.
Our podcast will end for multiple reasons.
Can't find Millie and Creeped Out. What? They got killed.
They'll find us with our brain.
Mummy curse.
They played with a mummy they play with a Ouija board while having a mummy in a graveyard.
Did their brains liquefy from being pulverized? No, they just didn't have a brain. But
there wasn't much to work with, so
it was pretty simple. I think this is something. If you guys have some more, but some modern day mummies, like, we don't think about. You know, we think about the wrappings and all that. One of the most famous is Lenin. Lenin is still in. He was the Russian revolutionist. You know, Vladimir Lenin. He's still in Moscow.
Oh yeah, and he looks
completely preserved. Like,
yeah.
Let's be honest, he looks like a dummy. He looks like a doll.
The wrong way with that. You said Lennon, and I thought John Lennon.
I wish they would. I wish they would have stepped up. No.
Propped up in the corner.
Gosh, no, I'm glad they didn't. That
he's got
not
his little
have
glasses
been good.
On.
little granny glasses.
Hey, baby. let's sing a jam.
My bad.
Imagine all the people. Okay, so anyway, sorry. No, this is Lennon, the Russian Lennon, and he's preserved very well. So is Eva Perón, the revered wife of Argentinian President Juan Perón.
Juan Perón.
Juan Perón.
Wasn't that the movie with Madonna?
Don't Cry for Me, Argentina. You got it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lennon's body is still on display at the Kremlin. I don't know why I just wanted to skirt right over Madonna. when I think about Madonna, I think of the pointy bra.
like a virgin.
Right, yeah.
Hey.
Okay, I'll stop there.
I think she might be a mummy. She's well-preserved.
Oh, she's had some work to help.
She doesn't even look like herself anymore. I'm going to put that out there. I was watching an interview.
No, she does not.
Who is that woman? Oh my gosh, that's Madonna. I'm like, it does not look like Madonna. I mean, all the further I want to go into that.
Not a good look. Oh, no. Okay, anyway, what else you got?
I don't have anything
else. Oh, I thought you said you had a...
Well, there's a... Oh,
I thought you had... Was that
Those are two of the most famous...
Okay, gotcha. Current.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, there are... the other ones, I honestly don't really know very well, to be fair. But there are, you know...
Oh, well, you missed one.
Oh, go for it.
Keith Richards. That's a zombie.
That's a zombie. Oh.
Sorry, I knew it was.
Very well preserved.
And then there's Keith Richards. I like Keith. I like KR, but
that's so bad, it's good.
Good Lord.
Saw a picture of Keith.
He actually looks better now.
Giving Willie Nelson guitar.
How could it get any worse?
Yeah.
Oh, I saw that too.
Well, he looks 75 when he was 35.
It's a joke.
Yeah. He was, oh my gosh, that's. Yeah, I don't doubt that, Nate, to be honest with you. I think I know he's 70-something years old, but daggone. He remembers the day he and Tutankhamen were partying it up.
Oh!
What is it? They always say...
they sealed the curse.
There's a nuclear war. The cockroaches are surviving. Keith Richards was surviving.
They used to say that about Betty
Where'd
White.
Everybody go, yeah.
That
Where'd everybody go, man? Where'd
everybody go? Out for Betty
Where'd
White.
Where'd everybody go?
I mean, seriously, it's like, Loretta Lynn just passed.
Yes. Oh, God bless her. Yeah, God bless
90
her
years
soul.
Old. I mean, that's a long life. But
you're talking about shout-outs.
Betty White, 99 years old. And there's Keith Richards. Just keeps plugging away. And I'm not saying I wouldn't, I should have been him. I'm just saying, that sucker's going to be around.
I heard
him
you
and
say
cockroaches.
It should have been him.
No, that's terrible. I just mean, gosh, because I'm saying all the drugs and alcohol he's had in his system, and he just...
Is it terrible?
He's like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps on going.
Good genes.
Good for him, though. Good.
Are they Levi's?
Good for youth, Keith. You never know. Keith might be listening.
Right.
On the tour bus, man.
I do love the Rolling Stones, so I'm going to put that on there. I'm going to try to kiss
that. Those are my boys now.
Yeah,
those are my
absolutely.
Boys. Okay, so I do have one more.
Go for it.
Story. Now, as I clear the spit out of my throat.
The spittle.
Yeah, the spittle. It says numerous people, there is a museum in Italy, and it says numerous people have fainted in Italy's top Egyptian museum. And they ask, is it the curse of the pharaoh? It says the Egypt, wow, start over. The Please Egyptian do. Museum in Turin has one of the Italy's finest collections of antiquities from the Nile. But these days, it is not the exhibits that are making headlines. It says a number of people have fallen ill while wandering around the ancient Egyptian artifacts and mummies. Three young girls were rushed to the hospital this week after getting sick. One of the nine-year-olds started to shake and burst into tears. Another even lost consciousness. There were similar incidents last year. Doctors at this hospital weren't able to determine why the girls fell sick. It says no such thing as a curse. Well, Anna Maria...
Mummy farts.
No, that will come up, actually. No, Anna Maria Donadoni, that's what it says, the curator of the Egyptian collection, however, is sure that there is no such thing as a pharaoh's curse. She says there is no poison powerful enough to make someone collapse in 5 minutes. The museum has undergone a battery of tests to see whether the air surrounding the ancient monuments was safe, but the scientists haven't been able to come up with conducive results. Official investigation. So, anyway, it just says that could there be a curse at the Italy Museum? And it said, well, and I'm just going to, there's just one more sentence of saying that other people have fallen sick, including employees, because they're around the mummies all day long and they can't find anything wrong with them.
Flagellants.
You're stuck on those mummy farts, huh?
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty creepy, though. Yeah.
It
so how'd is. You like to, how'd you like to work there? And yeah.
Oh,
I
love
it. So it says employees are falling down and collapsing. So
I'm there.
Yeah.
No big deal. ain't no thing. I'd like to make noise.
PFFFT.
better to come out this end than the other.
No, I was doing. Oh, hey.
Right, yeah. That's funny.
Don't have mummies eating tacos. Yeah. That's something else. Nate, do you have anything else about the mummies or John?
Oh my gosh. I don't know. I'm all mummied out.
You're not mummified, but you're, I don't know what you call it when you're all mummied out.
I'm all mummied out.
That was a good discussion.
Yeah.
That was a good choice, mm-hmm. And I hope the creepies enjoyed that. So
I do too.
There you go, the mummies. So, Sean, what do you have to come after that?
Well, it's funny because I keep thinking about between these middle-aged moments and middle-aged dark sides, and it's not really fair sometimes which way to go, and I sometimes pick something that's kind of right down the middle, and I'm going to say that this one's kind of down the middle because it's fun, and it's perfectly relevant, and Nate's going to love this.
Is it a middle-aged dark moment? Is that what you call it?
It kind of is. Middle-aged I think we side? Should call it no. that, yeah. When it's kind of a hybrid.
Yeah.
It is one of Nate's favorite bands, Here Come the Mummies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And this is Freak Flag.
Oh, I thought it was Rah, Rah, Rah.
Do you want me to do Rah, Rah, Rah? I can switch over real quick to Rah, Rah, Rah. The reason that, I mean, this, to me, this is like so us. And there are so many people out there listening.
I'm scared.
And this is, no, it's just Freak Flag. I mean, it's
Do I know
much,
Freak Flag?
Oh, we're going to play for you later now. If you have not listened to this,
song.
I say this all the time. It's a good song.
This isn't the song that you played or the song that you read when we did Egypt, right? The Curses of...
No.
Because
no,
I had heard it.
Walk like an Egyptian. Oh, wait. No, we didn't do that one. They tried
the
to do
The Bengals, I know.
I don't even remember. I did something for that one, but it wasn't this one.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I promise. I really don't remember what I did for that one. Go back and reference that, though. But if you haven't listened to the song, listen to it. The lyrics are great. They're fun. They're very, let's say... adequate for this discussion, adequate for this podcast, adequate for us. I know you're pretending to be shy, not us, but I see something naughty in your eyes. There's no shame in just being who you are. On the dance floor is a perfect place to start. It must be unfurled if you want to show the world. Let your freak flag fly. Let your freak, and I won't go through all these because it says it a lot. Let your freak flag fly. I'm going to stump fry. We're not here to judge you. We're just here to love you. Let your freak flag fly. I see no reason why you can't just let it fly, which I'm, like I said, I'm going to kind of mess these lyrics up a little bit. So run it straight up the pole. Got to show your colors for you get too old. You be Velma. I'm Scooby-Doo. Nothing around here is too taboo. Well, that's true with all the things that we pick. Rock the mystery van like a wow. Oh, hello, never mind. Break Daphne and Shaggy, but don't tell Fred. Oh my gosh. Okay, I should have thought these lyrics out a little bit better. He's over here laughing at me.
Oh boy.
Oh,
they have fun.
Yeah, right. Okay. Like the Liberty Bell. Yeah. All right. So let your freak flag fly. Let's just say that because I'm going to get in trouble. But it's seriously, be you out there. That's what I meant. Just disregard any of that.
All of that to say, just be you.
I know. Well, you. It goes on. And it's funny. Just go listen to it.
Here come the mummies have fun with their music.
They are hilarious. They're fun. They always wrap themselves like mummies. They look like mummies on stage.
They, I'm looking at pictures. From they are I've, wrapped up like mummies.
From what I've heard, they do that because they're all in different record label contracts.
Yeah.
So they won't let them all get together to do this band. So they're like, all right, well then... Nobody has to know who we are.
Didn't you get to meet one of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you really?
Yeah, yeah. I've met
he did.
Two of them, yeah.
Oh, two of them then, yeah.
Do tell. How did you meet these two guys from the Muppet?
If you're allowed.
I'll tell you off air.
Okay. Sorry, sorry, creepies.
It's an interesting story, though.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
That's how I got to know about this band, actually, because I'd never heard of it before, didn't know much about it. And then so it's cool. So if you've ever experienced them, it is fun. Like I said, I should have looked over. I should have really thought of this through a little bit more. So.
Says,
it's too late to do the other one.
They are a garage punk band. They formed in 88 to 92, then 93, then 94. So I'm like, why don't they just say 88 to 94?
Here come the mummies again.
Then it says
and again
intermittently
and again.
Thereafter. Mm-hmm. So they kind of, and then it says, now it doesn't give the current members, but it gives the four past members of the band. So
The question, have they been on Bob and Tom?
Hmm?
Yeah, I was going to say they've been on
multiple times. Oh, they have, really?
Yeah, I was going to say, that's what I thought.
They just played, I think they're the last band to play the summer concert series at Conner Prairie.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's cool.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So anyway, and this is a
they have a fantastic Christmas song with bells. Just cool. Look it up.
It's funny.
I want to have to look these guys up.
you have to look them up because they're funny because this is a perfect season for them, too. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, they're, you know, that's not just,
but they're
not just a Halloween band, but they're...
Their vein of music is like funk.
Okay.
We're playing the song as soon as we're done with this.
It's fun. they're a fun band.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, sounds they were formed in San Bruno, California, 1988, so... California,
but you can't know who the people are. That's what's interesting.
Other than just
you go on their website and stuff. It's their stage names.
That's it.
Okay,
that's all you can find.
Very cryptic. Yeah. Yep. So here come the mummies, and now here go the mummies.
And
sorry, people.
That was good though. I liked that. I didn't know really what was going on.
I stumbled into it. I'm like, oh God, I just make this awkward. Goodbye.
I got an idea.
Winston Churchill.
We're going to do some editing.
Right. I've got an idea. How about the other announcements?
All right. I got those. Second part of the announcements. Follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. You can email us at our email address, which is makopodcast@gmail.com. And that's two A's. Tuesday Terrors drop every Tuesday, the Tuesday Terror videos. You can sponsor those two for $50. Email us if you're interested. We are on all podcast apps and listening platforms. Subscribe and please give us a 5-star rating or review. Shirley, please tell us. I don't know why I said that way.
Don't call me Shirley.
Shirley over there. Nady. tell someone you know. Word of mouth means everything. We sell merch of all kinds. With our logo
what
on
better
it?
Season than Halloween to
Hello.
Have a Mako shirt.
Mm-hmm. And rolling into Christmas, right?
Yeah.
So go get
coffee
you some.
Mug.
Go
you can get a
get
shirt,
shirt. Some.
And then go around as middle-aged and creeped out podcast guy.
There you go. That's a new thing.
Get headphones.
Get your kids dressed up as...
It's going to be a big one for the season.
What are you? He's a middle-aged and creeped out podcast guy.
He's a podcaster.
And wear headphones. Yeah.
There you go. Our kids could do that anyway, right?
Yeah.
They'll get a lot of stares, but yeah.
They're still not impressed that I do a podcast.
We also offer segment sponsorships for only $50 per segment, and email us if you're interested in that.
And we are having our Halloween special, our second annual, mm-hmm. So what better than to sponsor that segment?
Yeah.
See? I'll just throw that out there. Coming up.
I like
what is today? The 6th?
Today is.
No, 5th.
Today's the 5th, yeah.
So I think we're going to do it the 26th. I think is our. We haven't really talked about it, but I think that makes sense.
We're talking about it now.
Yeah, we're talking about it now.
That's good.
Anyway, whenever it is.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Whatever.
Oh, no.
Whatever it was.
I think that'll work.
No, I was kidding. I was going to say, Nate, now you won't tell me about the mummies. Now,
I said, there go the mummies.
Whenever we do, yeah, I think you got a sponsor. I think you got a, you know, we'll give you a little shout out. And
you're looking at me when you say
help,
that.
Help out the Mako boys, Mako men. I don't know. We're not men. We are men, but
we're men in tights.
No, I don't wear tights. Okay, I do. But my point is, not all the time.
They're comfortable.
They are comfortable. I mean, I like my windbreakers and my tights. Or as my wife and I say, toit. We're like, oh, man, my back's tight. Oh, is it toit? Yeah, it's toit. Is that all the announcements, Sean?
I think that's it.
What did we... Did we sniff anything, like any mummy poison?
What
are you showing me over there?
This is the one, the only one that I, when you were talking about modern mummies and people, is
yeah,
that
who is
Jeremy
this?
Betham, and he's like stuffed.
And you're not saying he ate too much. Wait a minute.
Well, he might be.
So creepy, so I'm looking at this guy. That was a real person.
Uh-huh.
And he, wow, looks content.
Dude, he looks creepy. Look him up. It's just a weird... It's
I would, if I saw him, I'd be like, oh, hey.
He looks like Benjamin.
Looks like a wax.
Benjamin Franklin's cousin.
Jeremy Betham. That's the guy's, or Bentham.
I don't know.
The mummy guy?
These are, well, that's one of them here.
Or that's somebody that's taking the picture.
He had a plan for every atom of his deceased body, and his faithful friends and colleagues at the University College London saw to it that his will was followed to the T. After dying on June 6, 1832, Bentham's body was first dissected as part of a public anatomy lecture. Then his skeleton and head were preserved in a wooden container until the time in which his bones could be reassembled, padded with hay, and laid in one of the suits of black occasionally worn by him. Well, it says me, but it's him. He decided that his place in all eternity should be none other than sitting upright in a chair positioned in the main lobby of his beloved university, South Cloisters. Here he sits 99.8% of the time. Of course, even the deceased occasionally require a promenade. At the institution's 100th and 150th anniversaries, Bentham attends the meeting of the Council College. Council College, where records hilariously list him as present but not voting.
So, creepy.
I think they've had to I think it goes on to talk too. About how they've had to like replace parts of him and whatever. So yeah.
Well, his finger fell off.
I don't know.
Super glue.
You see why I didn't
give me the finger. No, it's Bentham's. Oh,
this is the after discussion. Fell off. So yeah, this is why I didn't bring it up. But now I am. Sorry.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Cut all that out.
You know what I'm going to do, Sean?
Cut that out.
Let's turn it over to our brother Nate here.
Please.
And have him save us from this.
Your mommy don't dance and your daddy don't rock and roll. And that's a wrap.
Yeah.
I love that one. Perfect. You nailed it. shout out to Poison. Poison, you want to sponsor our segment? That's a good one, Nate. Thank you for that. That's a wrap. And we want to thank you, Creepies, as always, for listening to us and our episode number 83 in our discussion on mummies. And until next time, Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.